We're doing Sefer Midot. We're up to page Tzadi, and the Magid Midovna had been discussing that the Torah is all-encompassing, that every form of wisdom can be found in the Torah. And the Magid Midovna says, "Avla emet ki Shlomo melech alav ha-shalom." The truth is that King Solomon, peace be upon him, natan libo lachkor et al kolelim divrei Torah. When he looked for all forms of truth, he was seeking them within the Torah. Ki mimene yesh lakachat lehaskil al kol hakochot hanimtzaim tachta shamayim. Because from the Torah, a person can really learn about all the forces that are under the heaven. Mamash kmo socher hasofer u'minei mischorotav. Just like a businessman who takes an accounting of his assets. Ve'eino mabit behem, einam lenegad einav kol meumah. He doesn't go through all his warehouses. He doesn't look at them right now. Rak mabit bapinkas asher hasochorot reshumot bo. But he looks at his figures. He looks at the records he has. How much he has in his stock. And by just looking at the numbers on his databases, he can see how much he has. So too, this chosen wise one, peace be upon him, when he was seeking out the different forms of wisdom, he was looking through the wisdom of the Torah, which is like that database that has all the forces of creation. To the point, we're up to the top of page Tzadi Aleph, the fifth line. To the point where you won't find a good trader or bad trader or anything that happens that the Torah did not arouse our ears to explain to us what's really going on, or how to judge or how to view a person that has this trait. If you want to know all of our history, everything that transpired in Jewish history, you want to understand what happened, what's going to happen, it's all there in the Torah. You just have to know how to read it. You have to know how to decipher it. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech did. That's why our sages said so beautifully, keep turning the Torah over in your hand. Because there's everything in it. Ad ki efshar la adam rachok min hayishuv velo ra lenegad einav davar. Rak hu mitboded im chachamim oskim b'torah. To the point where a person was living far away from civilization and he never saw anything. But all his life is with the rabbis learning Torah. Ve'al yedei limudei Torah levad. But through the learning Torah alone, yedav yavin ech latet eitza l'chol shoel. He understands how to give advice to anyone that asks. Ve'yaskil et kol hamikrim haruim l'chol ma'aseh l'chol makom l'chol zman. And he could figure out everything that's relevant to any place and any time. He knows how to give advice. Ke'ilu haya ba'umnaito, as though he were there. And this is something which I don't know if you guys had a chance to experience, but I had numerous times. This was when I decided to continue learning Torah. I was an assistant principal in a school, and there were certain decisions that had to be made, and I went to one of my rabbeim, and I asked him, and he explained to me why my whole position and the whole way in which I wanted to conclude the year was wrong. He said it nicer than that, and made me do an about face and the whole attitude. We had a certain problem with a specific class, and we turned it all around thanks to what he said, and it saved the class, like his advice. And I stood there awestruck. I was like, okay, I worked the whole year with this class. And I was about to mess up everything had I done it the way I thought was right. And he was sitting and learning all year, and with his 10-15 minutes, he set me straight and got it right. And I could tell you other instances where we had that. We had a shidduch that the guy, they were on the verge of getting engaged, and then someone came and said something very, very bad about the girl. Someone came and really gave a report and said, don't even think, and it was supposed to be someone who was really close to the girl. Her best friend comes and says, you should know she can't take responsibility and she's not good and this and that, and she needs a lot of work before you move forward with it. So the guy is like taken aback. What's he supposed to do? Suddenly he gets this report about the girl who he thought he was going to marry. And again, we passed it over to a specific rabbi who is never in the picture, but he was learned, and we asked him to verify, and after half hour he comes back and says, tell him to get married. So I said, wait a second, how do you know? So he said, you're right. do research A, B, C, and D, and then we'll see if I'm right or wrong. And we'll verify, we'll check with other sources if what this girl said was right. So, okay, I spent the next 3 days making hours of phone calls, checking from every angle. And everyone validated that I guess this friend of hers wasn't such a friend. She just had something. She thought she was telling the truth. This was the way she viewed her friend. But she wasn't. So I came back, you know, after all the days of research I did, and I came to the same conclusion. I said, how'd you know after a half hour? You know, what's the trick? And we had a similar story the other way. We had a girl.
He said,
what do you mean? I just, when I spoke to her, and I just heard her, and the way she spoke, it was very clear that she wasn't legit. She just had an issue with her friend. But you were right. You came in and questioned me, and you said, shouldn't we check out A, B, C, and D? You were right. Of course, you should check out A, B, C, and D. But he was commenting before we checked out all the other sources. He said like that. He was like, straight away he said it. And we had another story. We had a guy who was dating a girl, a guy from here, and he had been engaged previously to another girl, and when he got engaged and he was holding a few weeks before the wedding, suddenly we got a phone call from the first girl he was engaged with, and she said, I have sources, the reason I broke my engagement with him is because he's an abusive guy, and and you can't let this go through because it's a danger to the second girl, okay, fine, same type of story, same thing, within a very short period of time. The rabbi was given the story, and I didn't trust him. So I kept up with this couple for years later. I said, you know, I couldn't do anything at that point, but I said, I don't know, okay, you know. I said, you got to give some weight. The girl broke open engagement, so you could say she hates him, for whatever reason. But you could also say, you know, maybe there's truth to it. So I wasn't calm, and I kept up with this mamash for years. I wanted to keep an eye out for the girl to make sure everything was okay. Okay, so I witnessed this on many, I could tell you.
It was okay?
Yeah, perfect. Happily married years later, happily married. There was a guy who had a business deal. There was a certain person who came to a different philanthropist, and he said to them, I'll give you 10% on your money. And so someone came to his rabbi and asked him, how he should write the contract so it shouldn't be ribbis, because unfortunately they were both Jews, the guy who was giving the money and the guy who was giving the interest. So the rabbi looks over the contract and he explains to him halachically, and then he says, but I don't know, that doesn't seem legit. 10% on your money, 10% per year, and it was more. I think maybe it was even 15% at the time, but then the banks were also paying a high interest. So the guy said, look, there are a lot of people who have invested with him, and I'm not investing a tremendous amount of money. I think he was only investing like $250,000, which for him wasn't a lot of money. So the rabbi said, okay, fine. 5 years pass, and he's made back all, like, doubled his money. So he comes back to the rabbi, and they're rewriting a contract, and this time he figures he's going to invest even more. So the rabbi said, why don't you gauge the amount of time from when you invested to the interest? You never got back your principal, right? Don't you think time-wise you could have just used your principal to pay you back all that interest that you say you've been getting? And the guy didn't listen to him. And lo and behold, half a year later, the guy who had all his money disappeared with his money and a lot of other people's money. The first 2 years he collected, and then he kept paying everyone back from their principal who paid back the interest. And then everyone was willing to reinvest with him because they all got their money. And then he skipped out. And the rabbi who was looking over the contract, he's not a businessman. He came to ask him a halachic question. And there are, the stories like this abound. So, you know, he's saying that a guy could be sitting in his corner and learning, and I could tell you other stories like this also. I mean, there are a lot of stories. And I'm not saying, you know, when it comes to practical advice, so there's no halacha that says you have to listen to a rabbi. You have to listen to a rabbi. If he has the halachic shailas, okay? So he's telling you the halacha. You don't have too much of a choice. But on practical advice, no one's saying he'll always be right. But what we are saying is that the Torah does give a person access to understandings of the world through the wisdom of the Torah. And sometimes you could have someone who's sitting in his corner and studying, and he could have tremendous wisdom in areas that you'd think have nothing to do with him. And this is something, I gave you four stories now, but I can sit here all day telling you stories that I've encountered in my lifetime. seeing this come to play. But again, at the end of the day, you have to remember that no one's perfect, and as much as he's going to try, it doesn't mean he's always going to be right. There are going to be times that he won't necessarily be right, and that's why I always check, right? Even though this rabbi told me after a half hour, he says, tell him to go get married, I continue checking him. But that story where I was worried about abuse, I also did as much checking as I could. And in each story, I always say, you know, we got to do our due diligence. No one's saying that just because the rabbi said it, this isn't a prophet. A prophet, if he tells you, fine, you can go home and sleep well. But a rabbi is not a prophet, and a rabbi can make a mistake, and we don't have the gauge to know, okay, how much Torah does he have so that he figured it out correctly from the Torah? At the end of the day, it's our responsibility, and we have to do due diligence. It's very often beneficial to hear what he has to say and give it a certain amount of weight. But at the end of the day, life is about us living life and us making the decisions. We live in a day where people are too quick to give over their decisions to other people. And that's not what life's about. We have to make decisions. We could take counsel. But what he's telling us here is that through the Torah, he could gain wisdom in many, many other areas. That the greater a person is, the more areas he could gain wisdom. But at the end of the day, as much as you might benefit from that wisdom, remember that life is about you living life. And that there's no one guaranteeing that he's going to be perfect or that he's going to get it right every time. דירשו מעל ספר תורת השם וראו בתוכחות על אבון ועל כל חטאת וכולם הלא נתקיימו בעבודנותינו הרבים. He says, all you have to do is take a safer Torah. See how the Torah warns us what retribution Hashem will take over our sins, and you'll see that they all came true. Nothing in the Torah was even written in exaggerated form. ויפה אמר שלמה המלך עליו השלום. And how beautiful King Solomon said, תנה בני ליבך לי ועינך דרכי תצאונה. Give me your heart, King Solomon says. Your eyes should just watch over my path. Because the truth is, through this you could gain the wisdom and the understanding to succeed in other areas of life. So the Magid Midovna says, why do I need miracles and proofs about the truth of the Torah? He started off by discussing that there is a recognition when you encounter truth. Everyone has an internal sense when something said is true or not. And he discussed, depends on how big you are, how much you could trust that sense. But he says at the end of the day, why do we need proofs? The truth is recognizable to the eyes of all who see its glory. Chochmatas gulata ufulata, its wisdom, its uniqueness, its action, ve'emet et le'atzmo. And the truth is testimony to itself. It says, at the end of the day, you're talking to me about the truth of the Torah. The truth is recognizable, and that's its own testimony. And that brings us to the conclusion of this chapter.